Let's begin with a famous Yalkut Shimon that the Rosh Hashiva quoted in his Sicha on Monday. And that is the Yalkut Shimon that says, when we are told in this week's parasha, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyadam Vayomer Lo Nakenu Nafesh. Reuven hears the plot of his brothers to kill Yosef, and he spears Yosef's life by convincing them, don't kill him, just throw him into the pit. Why did Reuven say throw him into the pit? His intention was, says the Pasuk, Lashivo Alaviv, to be able to then bring him back to his father. So the Yalkut Shimon says, had Reuven known that the Torah would have written this about him, he would have carried Yosef on his shoulders back to Yaakov. And of course, the question is that this Yalkut Shimon seems to be implying that had Reuven known, he would have forevermore been inscribed in the Torah in a complimentary fashion for what he did. He would have done it even better. He would have really gone out of his way to earn that compliment and make it look even better for him. Which of course is somewhat difficult to understand. Reuven is not doing what he's doing simply because he wants to get the accolades and the good reports and be mentioned favorably in the Torah Dori Doros. Clearly, there's something more here in this Yalkut Shimon that Chazal are trying to teach us when they mention that had Reuven known what the Torah would have written about him, he would have been Markivo al Ksefov. What's the pshat? So Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Emes LeYaakov, says beautifully as follows. Yaakov writes the following. What the Medrash is really telling us is this. And it's Yalkut Shimon that's citing a Medrash Rabbah and Vayikra Rabbah. Chazal is telling us the following. Reuven, at the moment that he decided to argue in favor of spearing Yosef's life, he thought all he was doing was saving his little brother. It's important. It's going to spare his father terrible agony and distress. And it's my kid brother. I don't want to see him murdered right here in cold blood. Okay, he thought he was saving his brother's life. But had he known what the Torah would have written about this, meaning, had he known that if he would have brought him back to his father right then and there, he would never have been sold to Mitzrayim. And had he not been sold to Mitzrayim, then ultimately Jews would not have gone down to Mitzrayim. Had they not gone down to Mitzrayim, there would never have been a Sheba Mitzrayim. He could have, by bringing Yosef back to his father right then and there, averted the 210 years of Gullus, of Avdus, of terrible torture and suffering in Mitzrayim. Had Reuven fully appreciated the import of this mice that he was about to engage in, the significance of what he was about to do, he wouldn't have said, throw him in the pit, I'll come get him later. He would have said, give me my brother and run back to his father right then and there, because do you know what's riding on this decision? You know what's going to happen because of this? Am Yisrael's future is being determined by this one decision right here, right now. So Yaakov says, the pshat in the Medrash is, never underestimate the significance of what appears to you to be a very localized, relatively small impact of mitzvah, if you will. We tend to think of any mitzvah we do as, yeah, maybe it's nogei here and now. Maybe it'll have some impact, maybe not. So often we're not capable of appreciating the long-lasting effects of what a small mitzvah that I might do might ultimately have. And if Yaakov says, if you were to think about how this mitzvah right here, right now, might be so significant, so impactful, can you imagine the simcha and enthusiasm you would have when you do it? And therefore, have that simcha, have that enthusiasm when you do any maaseh mitzvah, because you have no clue what it might ultimately result in. My favorite example of this is a story that I heard from Rabbi Mordechai Green, who for many decades was the Rav of Hamilton, Ontario, which is a city 45 minutes outside of Toronto. He was a young 24-year-old or so musmuch coming out of YU in the late 50s. He comes to Hamilton to become the new rabbi of the dwindling Jewish community there. At the time, the Jewish community was still situated in downtown Hamilton. Neighborhood was changing. People moving out to the suburbs. the shul was really dying, falling apart. To save the community, he needed to build a new shul in the more suburban area of Hamilton. But he had no money to do that. So he told me he went to the Royal Bank of Canada, one of the local branches of Canada's largest bank, and he met with the vice president of the bank, whose name was Mr. Amy. And he told me this fellow was an Episcopalian Christian. I don't know how he knew his denomination, but that's what he told me. He was an Episcopalian Christian. And he sits down, it's like 1958, and he says to Mr. Amy, "Hello, my name is Rabbi Mordechai Green. I'd like to borrow $500,000. 1958, $500,000. So his vice president looks at him, it's a young guy, you know, baby-faced, 24-year-old, says, "No way, I'm not giving you $500,000. Sorry, goodbye." So we're going, okay, tried, didn't work, so he turns to go. Then this vice president calls him back and says, "Just before you go, why do you want $500,000? So Rabbi Green said to him, "I need to build a synagogue." So Mr. Amy said, "Oh, what kind of synagogue?" So Rabbi Green said, "An Orthodox synagogue?" And Mr. Amy said, "Okay, I'll help you. Have a seat." So Rabbi Green now said to Mr. Amy, "Well, why do you want to help me? All of a sudden, what changed?" So listen to this maisa. This vice president of the Royal Bank of Canada branch in Hamilton tells Rabbi Green that "I grew up as a kid in the 1920s and 30s in Timmins, Ontario." Timmins, Ontario is, if you get into a car in Toronto and drive 7.5 hours north, if you don't freeze first, you'll get to Timmins, Ontario. And this Mr. Amy, as a kid, was living in the Depression years in Timmins, Ontario. He said, "My father died young. My mother was left widowed with a bunch of little kids. And in those days, women didn't work. She had no money, no source of income, a bunch of little kids, and no husband." And it was the Depression years. And he said, "My mother was walking into the general store in Timmins, Ontario one day, looking at the prices on the clothing, on the food, seeing what she could afford. And the owner of the general store comes over to her and says, 'Mrs. Amy, I heard what happened to your husband. Take what you need for your kids. Don't worry about it. It's fine.'" And that owner of the general store was an Orthodox Jew. And Mr. Amy said, "This is my first opportunity to repay his kindness to my family." So those of you who have ever been to Hamilton will know that today in Hamilton, there is a magnificent piece of property that has a huge shul that houses a yeshiva, elementary school, and a mikveh, and this massive shul on a gorgeous piece of property. It has been the center of the Jewish community in Toronto, in Hamilton, all these decades. Why? Because some from Jew in Timmins, Ontario, in the 1930s, decided to help out a non-Jewish widow with her little kids, and probably thought, "No one's going to know. I'm doing a favor to a Nabuch, an unfortunate woman who has kids, no husband, no money. And that's it. Doing a nice chesed for somebody." And can you imagine now, this guy has been in Shemayim for decades and decades. And every letter of the Aleph Beis, every word of Torah, every word of tefillah that has been davened or learned in that yeshiva, in that shul, every woman has gone to that mikvah over these 40, 50, 60 years, whatever it's been. It's all in his chus. All in his chus. Why? One ma'isa chesed, one ma'isa mitzvah. And when he did it, was he doing it with simcha, with enthusiasm? Did he appreciate what this would mean for Hamilton, Ontario, for the Jewish community for decades to come? How could he? But Elu Yada, had he known what this meant for the future of the Jews in Hamilton, Ontario, can you imagine the enthusiasm, the simcha, how he would have run to have done this ma'isa mitzvah? Says Reb Yaakov, that's the pshat. And the Yalkut. Only Reuven knew what was at stake here. He would have run with Yosef on his shoulders to his father. And if only we would appreciate before doing any Maisa Mitzvah what might potentially be at stake and what the incredible ramifications of this Mitzvah could be, we would and we should do every single Maisa Mitzvah with such simcha and such enthusiasm.